Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
When you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand.
We're back. It's 12 after. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate. Tony Paradiso is our guest and our good friend. Tony spent many years in the world of management and working with companies as an employee and as a consultant. He's the author of a book I've got in my hand called The Management Minefield, Avoiding the Pitfalls of Corporate Politics. He's one of the guys that who talks to us about ethics, something, a topic that I think we all need to focus on a regular basis. Tony, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. And what I want to know is, are you giving out any samples in that fashion segment? You got any Armani suits that you don't need?
Hey, listen, if there are any left over after I get mine, I'll be glad to pass them along over there. Yeah, that's going to be fun. We're going to do the thing in fashion the next time, the next hour, and it's going to be interesting. I think some of my friends are going to make sure to tune in because they claim that I'm certainly no slave to fashion. And wondering how I'm going to pull it off. I think I'm going to do a lot of listening in the next hour there, Tony.
There you go.
Tony, sometimes small business owners look around at what's going on in some parts of the marketplace, and we wonder what, you know, if they have another brand of business than we do. I remember back in the 90s, and you and I may have talked about this before, when people were getting rich, it's seemingly getting rich, by having a six-page business plan, a ponytail, and a dot-com idea. And yeah. and yet small business owners were out here trying to raise, you know, trying to borrow $25,000 from a bank just to grow their business, and we're having some difficulty. And we looked around and we said, you know what maybe we're just not playing by the right rules. Maybe we need to change our rules. And as it turns out, at the end of the 90s, we found out that we were playing by the right rules, the other people weren't. And then the 21st century hit, and we found out that some of these other people that we were admiring for how successful they were, they weren't playing by the rules either, at least not the rules that we were playing by. And there seemed to be more and more of those, or I should say, well, they seem to continue to be cranking out these examples. One is was the mutual fund issue that happened earlier in the year, and I know you know a little bit about that.
Yeah, the mutual fund investigation is an interesting one because it's another scenario where everyone maybe is impacted because so many people in this country now have money in a mutual fund.
Right.
And you know, we've been talking about investor confidence, and that's been a crucial issue. Well, most people feel confident about putting money in a mutual fund because they think that they're being managed properly. Well, what we've come to find is that may not be the case. And Eliot Spitzer, the New York Attorney General, is at it again. He's
the bulldog.
At the forefront, and he's opened up an investigation of numerous funds that have been colluding with hedge funds, which are basically pools of very wealthy investors that, mm-hmm. that don't get very much regulation. And there's two issues involved, late trading and market timing.
Right.
Late trading is illegal, and it's simple. Some hedge funds have been allowed to trade after business hours, and it's analogous to basically betting on a horse race after the winner has crossed the line.
Well, or getting the OTB the OTB video before it, and betting on the horse before it actually gets into the screen, you know, on the inside of the OTB office. Off-track betting.
Yeah, mutual funds, for those not familiar with it, mutual funds are priced once a day at 4 p.m. And so if news occurs after the close of business that affects the value of the mutual fund, what was happening, or what allegedly is happening, is mutual funds were allowing hedge funds to buy at the pre-news price.
Right.
Now, isn't that
the same thing as insider trading?
Well, not really, because the news is public, right? It's really just illegal because trading after hours is not permitted at all. So, I mean, it's just an illegal act. The other issue is a little bit more sinister, the market timing issue, which is not illegal, but frowned upon by most mutual funds. And, matter of fact, most mutual funds have it in their prospectus that they don't allow such activity. Market timing plays on the difference between when international markets close and when the domestic markets close. And for funds that have an international component, what would happen is these big hedge funds would look at what happened over in Europe, for let's say, and if Europe had a good day, what they would do is buy a domestic fund and then take advantage of an uptick based on international activities and sell the fund the next day. Now, you'd say, well, that's just smart trading. You buy and sell and get in and out. Well, the problem is mutual funds are not designed for that kind of short-term transaction.
They're not really designed for day trading, are they?
No, no. And what happens is it dries up the fees and the costs of running the fund that all the owners of the fund, you and I, bear. And so it's a little bit like skimming off the top, because these timing traders get in with all these activities, drive up the cost of the fund. You and I pay those costs, and those costs have been estimated to be as much as 1 to 2% a year.
Wow.
Which means if you have $100,000 invested in a mutual fund, you may be losing $1,000 to $2,000 a year because of these timing trades. Right? And not even know it, because the average investor would not have the information necessary to figure it out.
Right.
So that's the, you know, it's another scenario of the big guys not playing by the rules, not being ethical, and taking advantage of the system.
Well, exactly, taking advantage. And, of course, to be fair, though, Tony, this kind of thing has been going on for a long time. I mean, these kinds of breaches of either ethics or morals or the law have really been going on for as long as people have been investing money. And so that part of it's nothing new, but it does show that there's still we still have some work to do in order to get people to play by the rules.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I have to applaud Elliot Spitzer for his aggressiveness, because he's way ahead of the Securities and Exchange Commission on this. But I tell you, I see just a tremendous number of positive signs, not only now that they're looking at the hedge funds and mutual funds, but there's even hope now for the New York Stock Exchange.
Which is what we're going to talk about in just a few minutes, folks. When we come back after these messages, I'm going to get Tony to tell us a little bit about his idea on what happened to Mr. Grasso, the leader of the New York Stock Exchange, and his compensation package. It got him into some hot water and then cost him his job. And we're going to talk about that right after these messages. And also, we're going to talk about why and how that probably, you know, things like that don't happen in small business. This is 20 After. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Tony Paradiso, the author of The Management Minefield. Back, it's 23 After. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Tony Paradiso, the author of The Management Minefield, M-I-N-D field, Avoiding the Pitfalls of Corporate Politics. Tony, tell us where the book's available and give us your website, please.
Well, book's available at Amazon.com, and my website is www.paramarconsulting.com. That's P-A-R-A-M-A-R, consulting, all one word.
Tony, and by the way, I understand that you've started syndicating your column, and I want to congratulate you on that as well. By the way, and there are a lot of articles that you have on your website there that people can take advantage of, can't they?
Yeah, actually, I write a weekly column called Candidly Speaking, and I take one of the larger business issues every week, and I write about it. So I've written about this mutual fund thing and the Grasso thing and all those kinds of things. I also send out a weekly newsletter called Business Banter, and the newsletter's a little bit more entertainment value, information as well, and I kind of position it as a combination of Dilbert Doonesbury and Don Rickles.
I can see that. Yeah, I'd have to agree with that evaluation. Let's talk about Dick Grasso. Dick, tell us who Dick Grasso is.
Well, Dick Grasso is the now former chairman and CEO of the New York Stock Exchange, which is the largest stock exchange in the world. And he is the unique position now of having been fired for no other reason than he made too much money.
Well, yeah, and he contributed to that himself. And
well,
what was his base package was $130 million?
Right, he got paid. His package was $139
million. Roughly $140
million plus. Right, as we came to found after the fact, and this was the straw that broke the camel's back, another $48
million. Which he graciously refused to accept the $48 million. In an attempt, I'm sure, to save his job.
That's
correct. Which it didn't work. Now, here's my question. Do you know whether, now that he's been fired, if he's able to go back and say, I want that money?
Well, they are debating that as we speak. The question on whether he will ask for the $48 million, and there's also a question of how much, because he, you know, the irony of this is he had just signed a new contract to 2007.
So he hadn't really started cashing in on the $139 million.
No, and $139 million is a bit deceiving because he had deferred almost all of his income for many, many years.
Right.
And so the number got big. But the fact of the matter is he was being paid $20 and $30 million a year when the market was declining.
Right.
And the big issue with Grasso, and it's important to say, Dick Grasso did not commit any
exactly.
illegal act.
No, that's right. He committed an unseemly act, though.
Well, he committed an unseemly act, and Dick Grasso is a classic example of Wall Street excess and everything that's wrong with Wall Street in the sense that the role of chairman and CEO of the New York Stock Exchange is an odd role in that you're part regulator and part CEO.
Mm-hmm.
He did not do the job as a regulator at all. He ignored that component. He did not police the listed companies. He did nothing to improve governance reforms. His track record was abysmal in that area. And for
mm-hmm.
that reason alone, he should have been dismissed.
Well, and then when the money shows up, as it did, it just looked it just flew in everybody's face. The comparable situation in small business, Tony, will be a guy, an owner, a business owner, who when the company is doing really well, pays nobody raises, doesn't give them the tools that they need to do the job, makes them overcome huge obstacles, and yet it seems that the owner keeps, you know, getting wealthier and wealthier. And instead of putting the money back into the company, and ultimately that company is going to fail.
Yes. I mean, that's a good example. The issue here with excessive pay is a matter of keeping morale and feeling that everyone's being treated equitably.
Right.
I mean, so no matter whether you're large or small, if you've got an individual, even if that individual's the owner, that's reaping huge rewards from everyone's contribution and not sharing it equitably with everyone, then you're going to create feelings of animosity and inequity. Productivity is going to decline. You're going to have turnover, and none of those things are good in the long term. So
I know two owners over the last 3 years who had to lay off some people for the first time when business got bad.
Mm-hmm.
And the day they announced the layoffs, both of them did this. They don't know each other either, by the way. The day they announced the layoffs, both of them announced that they were suspending their own pay, their own salary, until things got better.
Yeah, and it's that kind of thing. It's true leadership. That instills loyalty and a willingness to kind of work through tough times mm-hmm. and stay the course, and those are businesses that are going to be successful in the long term.
Well, and both of them are. One of them is doing great now. The other one actually sold out and got and the company, the owner, and the employees made a lot of money on a buyout transaction. Ultimately,
there you go. All right.
Yeah.
So there's a lesson in this for every company, no question about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I'll tell you, it's the kind of things that small business owners do more than you know, the two stories I just told are not isolated examples. It happens all the time, and it's one of the reasons why, you know, we work in a little bit of a different marketplace than the big guys do sometimes, and I think they need to be looking at us sometimes for direction rather than the other way around. Tony Paradiso, thank you for being here. Good job today. We enjoyed the visit.
My pleasure.
We'll see you next time. Tony Paradiso, ladies and gentlemen, Paramar, is it ParamarPub.com?
Paramar Consulting.
ParamarConsulting.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Quick break, right back with Stephen Moore. The show is brought to you by IBM. and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.